temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am a part of God's song. I am one perfect tone. I am in tune with the frequency of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am encoded with God's name. I am living in God's flame. I am eternal as the Spirit of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. In the peace of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am embraced in love and light. I am protected by God's might. I am safe in the arms of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God.
Welcome to the light. This program is being brought to you by Light Enterprises, LLC, whose mission it is to bring back the light of our Father to planet Earth. You and I are all the beloved children of our Father, the sons and daughters descended from Adam. So welcome, my sweet brothers and sisters. What I am about to tell you is not the New Testament, but it is the True Testament. The light is returning to earth and revealing amazing truths that have been hidden by the darkness. Every day, we hear of some new scandal coming to light, scandals of deception in politics, in the medical field, in organized religion, in sports. It's across the board. There have also been some shocking disclosures from the fields of science and history, and we've learned that much of what we've been taught and believed all our lives is simply not true. Well, get ready. The True Testament is going to reveal the truth of one of the biggest deceptions that has been perpetrated on the human race. But I don't want you to focus on the lies. The important thing is that you are getting a second chance to hear the good news, and it is the truth that will set you free. The one you know as Jesus brought the good news 2,000 years ago, and it was hidden from you and corrupted by a false teacher. In this time of great change, when the old flawed teachings and structures are crumbling, the light is returning to earth, and nothing can be concealed by the darkness anymore. The light is revealing the truth, and humans will be freed from the enslavement of the dark powers who have ruled this planet for thousands of years. The Vatican's greatest secret is out. Jesus was not a Jew. Think about the ramifications of that. It means he wasn't descended from King David's line, and he wasn't the Old Testament's prophesied Messiah, and the loving, forgiving Father that Jesus taught about was not the fearsome, punishing God of Abraham. How could this be?
The book, Simon Peter's True Testament, tells the whole story from start to finish. It is available on Amazon.com to download instantly to your Kindle or to order the book. It is a print-on-demand book, meaning it is only printed when an order is placed, so that no trees are cut down unnecessarily. This remarkable book tells the whole story as lived by Simon, from the time he met Ishu, that was Jesus' real name, Ishu spelled Y-S-H-U, and pronounced Ishu. So it tells the story from the time Simon met Ishu on the shores of the Sea of Galilee to the time when Simon himself was crucified in Rome. It tells exactly what happened to the teachings in the years after Ishu's crucifixion, and how two completely different stories of the life of Ishu came to be spread around the Mediterranean and amplified in Rome. You'll learn all the good news teachings that Ishu brought that were left out of the New Testament. On this show, we are going to share the highlights of the teachings with you. What Ishu taught has the power to create heaven on earth. It frees people from the false teachings of original sin and forgives and liberates you to live and go forward in joy and love. Ishu, or Jesus as you know him, was not Jewish, and he had nothing to do with the entity who seduced Abraham with promises of land and riches and power if he would bow down and worship him and make him his God. Ishu's ministry was to the Jews to bring them back to the light of the Father. The Father that Ishu taught about is the creative life force spirit that flows through all living things. The Father is the life, and the life is victorious. The great spirit of life is eternal, so we too are eternal, because we are part of the Father that flows through us. Ishu taught us that everything on earth is alive. Humans, animals, plants, trees, birds, insects, reptiles, the waters, dolphins, whales, turtles, stones, minerals. Everything is alive because the great spirit of life flows through each life form. And we are all the children of the Father. Our Father gave us life so that we could experience the pleasure and pain of a physical existence and learn the lessons that will perfect our souls. Ishu said that there's no such thing as death. Our bodies will drop away when they are old and worn out or damaged beyond repair, but our spirits are eternal. And they continue their eternal journey, experiencing lifetime after lifetime. He called Earth our Father's house of life, and our bodies mansions. What he actually said was, "In my Father's house of life, we live in many mansions." Ishu taught that we have an inner blueprint that will ultimately take each of us home to the light. Just as an acorn carries an inner blueprint of a mighty oak tree, we carry an inner blueprint of a great light being. The truth of who you are and what you are has been hidden from you, and you have been tricked into believing that you are sinful and should feel ashamed and feel guilty and do penance for causing the Son of God to suffer and die on the cross. These lies have separated you from the Father, and in your darkness and despair, you have wreaked havoc on the earth and on each other. The truth is that you are the beloved children of the Great Spirit of Life, created in love and joy, and living in a beautiful earth garden designed to provide for your every need. It is only in your sense of separation from the Father that you have turned on each other and behaved in unspeakable ways. The truth is that you are made of love and filled with light, the creative life force of the Father. You were born on Earth, which is a free will planet, and you are free to live your life in joy, honoring all creation, loving, forgiving, living, sharing, laughing together, and sharing the bounty of this wondrous garden world. And you are destined. It is your birthright to grow and evolve into beings of light who will ascend into the worlds of light where there is only love, joy, forgiveness, and peace. You have been controlled by the forces that have been ruling this planet for several thousand years, actually, and they have ruled you with fear. Why? Because fear is humankind's greatest weakness. Fear paralyzes us so that we can't think straight, we can't see what's going on, we can't move, we're like deer frozen in the headlights of a car. People who are paralyzed by fear are easy to manipulate, easy to trick, and easy to fool, easy to control. And like sheep, they can be led down whatever path the world management team wants them to go, even to their own deaths in senseless wars. Fear can be used to turn brother against brother and race against race. It is the source of all the pain, anguish, despair, and dread that has informed life on Earth for thousands of years now. But the good news is that you no longer have to be afraid. For most humans, the greatest fear is about death and dying. It is such a traumatic fear that it is the number one subject that we're confronted with day in and day out. Our news reports on TV and radio and in newspapers and magazines are all about killing and wars, homicides, disasters. And our entertainment is all about murder mysteries, police stories, ER emergencies, tragedies that take lives. What is this fascination that humans have with death? It seems like a very barbaric planet. When you realize that the survival instinct is still the most powerful instinct guiding human decisions, making us very competitive and territorial. And our solution to every problem seems to be to kill whatever it is we don't want around us. Kill those bugs that are coming into the house. Kill those weeds that are growing up in the yard. Kill that snake that wandered in too close to a housing development. Kill, 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 with no thought about the fact that this is another life form sharing the planet with us. It seems that humans want to control everything, and it always seems to be a life or death decision. We've been mesmerized and controlled with our fear of death. Ishu took away that fear by helping us to remember that we are eternal beings who only live in physical bodies as temporary housing, while we experience the highs and lows of the senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling all the emotional reactions in our bodies. He said our bodies just drop away when they're old and worn out or damaged beyond repair, and our spirit continues its life journey, returning to the physical world time after time to live and experience again. So there's no need to fear death. You are an eternal being. You are the beloved child of the Father of Life. No need to fear the disapproval of others. Your life is your gift to live however you choose. No need to fear separation and suffer that kind of anxiety anymore. The Father is within you, and you are surrounded with fellow life forms in myriad shapes and sizes. There's no need to live in fear anymore. You are loved and cherished by the great spirit of life, the Father. And because the Father flows through you, you are an eternal spirit being destined to evolve into a great light being and ascend into the worlds of light. We are going to take you step by step through all the teachings of Ishu. And remember, you can always buy the book right now on Amazon.com and have it downloaded instantly to your Kindle, or order it from Barnes & Noble or any bookstore. If you want a hard copy, you must order it because it is a print-on-demand book. This way we don't waste trees by printing hundreds or thousands of books to sit on bookstore shelves. When you order the book, it would be printed especially for you and delivered within days to your address. Ishu actually gave us 12 keys to the Kingdom of Heaven. The wonderful thing about his 12 keys is that they are all life-affirming. He never passed judgment on anyone. He never criticized someone's actions. And he never talked about punishment. The 12 keys are all do's, and there are no don'ts, no thou shalt nots. The first key is about understanding the Father and our relationship to the Father. He explained that the Father is the original creator spirit of life who brought life to earth and is within each life form in the great circle of life. We humans are one of millions of life forms here, and it is our place to be stewards of the earth, honoring all life and living in harmony with the vast tapestry of living beings around us. Since everything is alive, we also need to understand that everything is aware of us. They see us and hear us and feel our presence just as we see and hear and feel them. Everything from the largest animal to the tiniest microbe, from the elephant to the ant, bears witness to what we do and say. All life forms communicate with each other, though often their communication is unseen and unheard by the limitations of our human body senses. We talk about visible light as if it is the only light, because to us, it is. There's a broad spectrum of light, but our human eyes are only capable of seeing within a narrow band of what we call visible light. Some other life forms see in ranges of light that we cannot see. For instance, birds and insects see in ultraviolet light. Birds actually have markings on their feathers that denote their sex. And these can be seen by other birds, but they are invisible to humans. Insects can actually see the nectar in flowers. That is invisible to us also. Reptiles see in infrared, which shows the heat index of its prey. So other life forms are seeing things that are invisible to humans. Our hearing is also limited. Any of you that have a dog as pet know about a dog whistle that it emits a high-pitched sound that the dogs can hear, but that is unheard by humans. Many of the communications of other life forms are in the ranges that our human ears cannot hear. Yet humans, with our enormous egos and bolstered by a book that tells us that we are the most important of all God's creations, have bulldozed through life with little or no thought of how their actions impact the other life forms that share this earth's garden with us. Ishu, or Jesus as you know him, taught that all life is sacred because the Father is the life, and the life is within and flowing through all living things. He taught us to treat all living things with equal respect and honor as a living vessel of the Father. He explained that from the stars in the night sky to the tiny sparrow, everything lives and moves within the cycles and rhythms of the Father. And the Father is aware of us, each of us, and all that we experience. He taught that there is no judgment, only love. And love cherishes and forgives and understands and is joyous to be alive. When we live fully awake and aware, honoring and respecting all the precious life around us, we have no regrets or guilt that would cause us to be angry with ourselves. It is our own inner anger at ourselves that fuels the angry outburst toward others. When we live honoring other lives, we don't lie, we don't steal, we don't cheat, or we don't kill. So there's no need for commandments and thou shalt nots. When we live honoring our brothers and sisters, we do not have guilt and shame that cause us to behave in bad ways. We love ourselves and life is good. Simon says that when Ishu explained that there was no death, this was not so surprising to them because reincarnation was a broadly accepted fact in those times. Ishu said that we have to be born again and again in order to learn the lessons that will perfect our souls and allow us to ascend into the worlds of light. He said that just as a tree must sprout first from a seed, so must we. And there are millions of seeds and sperms that are not activated to become a living being. Then the sprout must weather the storms and the winds and the heat and the cold, just as we humans must weather the rigors of early life in order to grow into maturity. Many sprouts die in their early years, just as many children do. It may take many attempts before a sprout actually lives to become a big tree that the birds can nest in. It is the same with mankind. It may take many attempts at life before a human lives long enough to become a mature individual, and many more attempts at life before achieving old age. It is through these experiences that we grow in wisdom and strength and attain the virtues of compassion and love that will take us to the next level, and we ascend into the worlds of light. According to Simon, the thing that was most surprising to them was that to kill any other life form was a dishonoring of the Father who created all life and moves in all life. He said that in their Jewish community and family, they respected the Ten Commandments handed down by Moses, and there was a commandment that said, thou shalt not kill, but it was their belief that this only applied to not killing people. And even then, this commandment was waived during war, and in the event that someone had killed one of your family. If someone had perpetrated a harmful act against your family, you were duty-bound to retaliate, and that meant a life for a life, an eye for an eye, and that was acceptable in the eyes of the God of Abraham. Simon said that it had never occurred to them that it was wrong to kill a tree or an animal or any other living thing. Ishu emphasized that all life is sacred, and we are all connected by the Father that moves through all living things. He said that everything we do affects other beings, and so we are to live consciously aware of all the life around us and take only that which we need to survive. In other words, if we are foraging for berries in the forest, we take what we need and we leave some for the bears and the birds and the insects. We share with all our brothers and sisters. The garden is abundant, and there is plenty for all, unless someone is greedy and takes it all for themselves. We must learn to live in harmony with other beings, sharing the bounty of the earth. It is the gift of our Father. These are only a few of the teachings of Ishu. There are many more that will open your heart and will just fill you with joy. If you are eager to hear more, tune in again on September 2nd. We will be doing this show every other week. If you are anxious to know more right now, just go to Amazon.com and purchase the Kindle edition or order a print copy. You can also go to our website, which is www.jesus-second-coming.com. That is Jesus, and second is spelled out, so it's JESUS-SECOND-COMING.com. Okay, now I want to ask you a couple of things. Haven't you ever wondered why a Jewish Savior's church was started in Rome, Italy, which is 1,426 miles away from Jerusalem? Haven't you ever wondered why the loving, forgiving Father that Jesus taught about is so different from the jealous, punishing God of Abraham? Haven't you ever wondered why it was the Roman soldiers who arrested Jesus and the Roman court who sentenced him to die when the Jews were under the jurisdiction of the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was the supreme council and highest court of law for the Jews in Jerusalem? Did you ever really think about it? Or were you afraid to question anything in the Bible or anything that the church taught? Did you just blindly accept what you were taught by your parents and grandparents? You know, down through the ages, children were taught all sorts of erroneous truths, such as, well, how about this one? The world is flat, and if you sail too far across the sea, you will fall off the edge. And then there's another great one. The sun and the planets rotate around the earth because the earth is the center of the universe. Those things were actually taught in the Dark Ages, and to disagree or question them was punished by death. Of course, the Dark Ages, you know, was also a time of the Inquisition that the church carried on. Over 100,000 people were tortured and killed. And that went on for 400 years. Hard to believe, isn't it? Even famous scientists who questioned these truths were ridiculed and punished. So people became paralyzed with fear at the thought of questioning anything like religion. However, we know today that we must question everything because we live in a world of illusion and deception. Empires and dynasties have been built on lies, and we have all experienced how lies can cause so much pain and anguish and suffering in our own lives. As the light returns to earth, it is becoming increasingly hard for liars to get away with anything. And what a waste of time and energy it is to tell lies anyway. This is a time for honesty and integrity to become the normal way of life. How liberating honesty is. No guilt, no fear, no dread of being found out, no hidden agendas, no betrayals of trust, no false expectations built on lies, just freedom and the joy of being alive. Simon tells us that Ishu was the most joyful man he had ever met, and as they came to know him better and to absorb his beautiful teachings, that they too became joyful people. This is how they became fishers of men. When other people saw how happy they were all the time, they wanted to know more. They wanted some of that joy. And little by little, they made their way to the courtyard of Simon's family compound to meet Ishu, when he was in town, and to feel his radiant energy and to hear his resonant voice and the great truth he shared with them. It was a joyful time for Simon and his brother Andrew and their cousins James and John. They were all part of a large extended family made up of parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, cousins, and children galore, and they all lived together inside a large walled courtyard complex. Each family had their own sleeping rooms and fire pit for cooking, and they were placed at intervals around the inner wall. The center was a big open courtyard where the children ran and played. They were all involved in the fishing business, and everybody helped each other. There were many hands to do the work, so no one had to struggle to survive or to carry too heavy a load. And now with Ishu's teachings, they had been awakened and their hearts filled with love and joy, and life was good. They lived in Capernaum, which was situated on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, and their compound was there on the shore, not far from their boats. As it turned out, Ishu lived in Jerusalem, which was almost 100 miles to the south, and he walked back and forth to Capernaum to see them. He was a Nazarene. That is what a priest of the Mandaean people is called. And here is one of the many errors in the New Testament about Jesus. You know, back then, very few people could read or write. And if you wanted to send a letter, you hired a scribe to write it for you. And if you received a letter, you hired a scribe to read it to you. The scribes were usually the sons of businessmen or shopkeepers who had paid a fee to have them trained for this trade. They were not highly educated, but they could read and write, and they wrote down what they heard. The person sending the letter couldn't read it to check on accuracy or spelling, so obviously the scribe wrote down Nazarene, or perhaps the translator had never heard of a Nazarene and mistranslated it. Anyway, the New Testament tells us that Jesus was a Nazarene, and everyone assumed that meant he came from Nazareth. He was not a Nazarene from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene, spelled N-A-S-O-R-A-E-A-N. And a Nazarene is a Mandaean priest, and he was from Jerusalem, and his father was also a Nazarene. Priesthood is hereditary, and his father had begun training him when he was only 3 years old. At 7 years old, he was learning to read the prayer books and assisting his father in the rituals of baptism and weddings and funerals. At age 12, he began studying with the high priest, and at 16, he was given the full initiation as a priest. Since that time, he had attained the title of Nazarene because of his wisdom and astute guidance of the people. As with all Nazarenes, he did not eat meat because it would involve killing, and it was forbidden for him to drink alcohol. When he conducted weddings, it was part of his priestly duties to make a special drink for the wedding party. The drink was called Hamra, which is loosely translated as wine, but it is non-alcoholic. He made this drink by kneading dates and grapes into a jug of water. Then the water was strained through a cloth into the drinking bowls. It was a reddish-brown color and had a slightly sweet taste from the fruit, which is probably why it was sometimes translated as wine. But Jesus did not drink anything alcoholic. So all of you priests out there sipping your cocktails and wine, thinking it's okay because Jesus drank wine, think again. The other major misconception about Jesus in the New Testament is about sacrifice. Sacrifice was a big thing with the Jews. So, of course, in order to convince the world that Jesus was the Jewish prophesied Messiah and son of the God of Abraham, then sacrifice had to be a big part of his story. So the false teacher concocted a story of the Last Supper, in which he has Jesus offering bread to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you," and offering them real wine, saying, "This is my blood shed for you." That whole idea would have been horrifying to Isu. He did not eat meat because it involved killing an innocent animal. He was outraged that the Jews killed innocent animals as a sacrifice to a God who demanded this as payment for the redemption of their sins. And the part about eating his body and drinking his blood would have been beyond belief to him. In the Mandaean belief system, to even touch blood was believed to pollute a person and required a baptism to cleanse them again and seal them in the light. And to have them eating bread as if it were his body and drinking wine as if it were his blood because he was going to sacrifice himself for mankind, it would have just been unthinkable. Isu believed that our Father loves us and wants good things for us, wants us to enjoy this gift of life. So he did not believe in sacrifice at all. He did not believe in punishing the body or abstinence as a penance. The practices by some Catholic priest of self-flagellation and wearing hair shirts so that they can suffer for Jesus would seem deranged to Isu. Our Father doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to enjoy our lives and to love each other and to be grateful for the abundance of the beautiful earth garden that was created for us. In the Mandaean belief system, to abstain from sex and remain celibate would be to dishonor the Father who gave us the gift of life and the ability, the gift, to be able to create new life on earth. So if a man died and did not leave children, no matter how pure and perfect he may have been, he would surely be required to reincarnate in order to fulfill that duty and that task. Isu had been married when he was 18, and he had 3 children, a son who he was training to become a priest, and 2 younger daughters. He was still very active as a priest for his people. So he would return to Jerusalem to conduct ceremonies and to be with his family and, of course, to continue his son's training. He came and went, sometimes disappearing for weeks, then suddenly being back on the shore of the Sea of Galilee to greet them when they came in with their catch of the day. It was a joyous time when he appeared. Everyone loved him, and he was a great storyteller, which was a highly valued talent in those times. You know, there was very little of entertainment available. And of course, nothing that like we are accustomed to today with all of our digital gadgets and TVs and computers and news 24/7. The news of those times was all gossip and rumor that was passed from mouth to mouth, from house to house, and no one ever knew the full story or exactly what the details were. So here is this wonderful man who was a master of the story, and that is how he taught. The stories made it real and heartfelt, and the people understood their meaning in ways that could not have touched them if he had just told them the principle involved. Oh, there is so much to share with you. But we must take this in small increments so that you can digest the truth, which is so different from what you have been led to believe. So far, we have shared with you the first few keys of the 12 keys of the Kingdom of Heaven. I'm going to read these for you from the book in case I didn't make them clear enough earlier, okay? Number 1, God, our Father, is an eternal creative force who created life on earth. And life is defined as that which has been born and is breathing the breath of God. the soul or spirit is drawn into the baby's body when the baby takes its first breath. With the breath of God, we are alive. Ishu taught us that our Father is a great spirit of life that moves in all things, and not a man sitting on a throne issuing commandments and demanding to be worshipped. Number two, all life is sacred because it is part of our Father. And all life means humans, animals, plants and trees, birds, insects, reptiles, everything that breathes the breath of God. We are to treat each other and each life form with respect and honor and kindness. Number three, we do not kill because all life is a sacred part of our Father. It would dishonor our Father to kill that which He has created and breathed life into. If we must kill to eat and survive, then we are to do it with kindness, causing as little pain and fear as possible, and blessing and praying for the spirit of the animal to continue its life journey in peace, and giving thanks for its giving of itself so that we may eat and live. Number four, as children of our Father, we are empowered to create new life on earth. It would dishonor our Father if we do not mate and bring forth children. These are some of what we've covered today, and there is so much more. I hope you will join me again on September 2nd for the next show. We'll be doing this show every other week. And further down the road, we will begin to open the phone lines for those of you who would like to join the conversation. Soon we will have an audio version of the book for you. I know many of you are so busy that you hardly have time to read a book. Once we have the audio version done, we will begin to play parts of that on this show as well. Meanwhile, do look at our website. It's www.jesus-second-coming.com. And remember, you can have the book instantly by going to Amazon.com and downloading it to your Kindle. In fact, if you are listening on your computer and have my page pulled up on BBS Radio, then you can just scroll down to the bottom and there's a link right there for you to be able to connect immediately to Amazon.com. If you're like me and prefer to hold a book in your hands, I love books, and I like to go back through them and reread passages, and I don't know. I just like holding books. So if you're like that, then you can order one to be especially printed for you, and you'll have it in just a few days. The book is beautiful, and it is filled with light. So until we meet again, may your heart be filled with love and light, and may the joy of the Father flow through you and out to bless the world. Our Father is the life, and the life is victorious.
I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am a part of God's song. I am one perfect tone. I am in tune with the frequency of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am encoded with God's name. I am living in God's flame. I am eternal as the Spirit of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. Secure in the peace of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am embraced in love and light. I am protected by God's might. I am safe in the arms of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God.